You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
The hand of God in the glove of history. That's the beautiful way our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, describes God's providence in the book of Esther. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus as we continue our study. We left off last time with King Xerxes in despair over the very public disobedience of his wife, Queen Vashti. Well, seeing his depression, the king's servants suggested a beauty pageant to identify a new queen. What happens next? We'll find out in just a minute as we begin our study in Esther chapter 2, verse 4. Now, as you find your place, Greg and I have a quick update on some great things happening through God's Word in India.
Yeah, Steve, we were in India not just too long ago, and we were in Bangladesh in India. We shared a great, encouraging report from Bangladesh. And around the time of that trip, you and I weren't able to be there, but one of our leaders represented us at a celebration of the 150 languages of Through the Bible home groups.
Yeah, and the pictures, although I wasn't there, pictures were amazing. I mean, I've been in that area down in Chennai, and they have a large covered area.
Yeah, 3,000 people can fit into this thing.
Yeah, massive thing. And to see that whole stage filled with all of those people representing all the different languages that Through the Bible is in was just... It was wonderful.
It was. And the reason you and I missed it was we had some other very, very important meetings to plan for the future of the home group ministry. So sometimes we do the hard stuff and we don't we let somebody else have some fun. But but we are getting such great feedback from the home groups. It's just as heartwarming. You want to read this response?
Yeah, this first one's from a Gondi listener. Remember, 150 languages in India alone. Gondi.
Yeah.
I am Cheyenne Kumar. I belong to the Hindu Advashi family. In my family, there are six members, my mother, my elder brother, his wife, and his two children. I am 30 years old and unmarried. For last 2 years, I would collapse for no reason. My brother took me to doctor, and he said that I was normal. My mother was very worried about my health, and she took me to the witch doctor, who tried everything he knew, but there was no change in my health. We spent a lot of money for my treatment, but no change was seen in me. In 2010, I came to Bilaspur to stay with my elder brother. I heard that my friend Sharavan was having a Christian fellowship in his house. I went there, and the pastor prayed for me. He even came to my home and prayed for me. Through his prayer, the Spirit of the Lord touched in my heart. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and joined their fellowship, regularly reading and listening to the Word of God. In this home group, I learned how to study the Word of God in systematic way and grow spiritually, and now I am a strong believer. I now collapse less frequently and feel better in my body and my spirit.
And Steve, right before we hit record, we were talking about how the Lord is doing these things where he's using the prayers of the people in the home groups to often bring healing to people. And we know Dr. McGee, we agree with his teaching that there's not a gift of healing, but when God chooses to heal, he can heal. And we see that. Now, we have time, I think, for one more. This is from Telugu. I am 24 years old and a regular listener of your program. I join a group of people to listen. We have people of many tribes coming together. Isn't that interesting, Steve?
Yeah.
Many different tribes. Okay, it goes on. The program meets our spiritual needs. People who join us for the time always comment on the peaceful atmosphere as the fellowship starts. Through the Bible is what brought us to Christ through the program. We accepted Jesus as our Savior passionately and intensely.
That is
wonderful. That's awesome.
Greg, let me pray for us as we begin our study. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the fruit that we're seeing coming out of these home groups in India, 150 languages, Lord, and growing. I pray that you would continue to bless this ministry as it goes out, that you would bring people to yourself, just like the testimonies that we heard today, that people would understand your word in a systematic way, and that they would learn to love Jesus Christ and trust him as their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee to lead our study of Esther on Through the Bible.
Now, friends, we're coming back to this rather remarkable little book of Esther, and we have had occasion to call your attention here to that which almost sounded facetious in the first chapter, the wife who refused to obey her husband. And we were introduced into the great throne room and palace and banquet hall of the great King Xerxes of Media Persia, one of the great world rulers of a great world empire. And he was planning a campaign against Greece at that time. And this man had called in all of the leaders of the 127 provinces in his kingdom. And then there happened something that I'm sure he did not anticipate at all. His queen refused to come at his command. Fact of the matter is, he would never have commanded it had he not been drunk. She refused, and it revealed a family scandal. Something had to be done. The measures had to be taken, and she was set aside. This king then made his campaign against Greece. He came back home, retired in absolute humiliation and defeat. And in that state of mind, he paced up and down his palace every day. And so his servants, they wanted to do something to cheer the man up. They saw his loneliness, and they suggested a beauty contest. And the beauty contest brought in girls from all these different provinces. Now, we come today to the fourth verse of this second chapter, and I'm going to read it. And their thought was, and let the maiden who pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. We now come to the story in verse 5. All that we've had before has just been the window dressing, has been the stage props. We were taken into a pagan heathen court, and we were introduced to the happenings there for a very definite purpose. It explains this beauty contest, and the beauty contest explains how Esther came to the throne. And because Esther came to the throne, why, it enabled her to intervene and intercede in behalf of her people, and an entire people would have been exterminated at that time had she not been there. Now we begin to see that it was the hand of God moving back in this palace. As we looked in, I called attention to the fact I see nothing spiritual there. It's as godless as anything possibly could be. It's a drunken orgy that's taking place, but God's overruling it. And now we are beginning to see what this book teaches. It teaches the providence of God. And God was arranging these events so that at the proper time, he'd have someone there to intervene on behalf of his people. And that becomes very important. Now somebody's going to raise the question about this beauty contest, because they're going to say, well, Esther entered the contest. You mean to tell me God approves of beauty contests? Well, my answer is very candidly, no, I don't think he does. But my friend, when a child of God gets out of the will of God, gets way out yonder, God permits many things that he does not approve. And he will overrule through these events that the Christian is doing today that he does not approve. And again, it leads me to say this. One of the things that's important in the little book of Esther is to see that God does overrule, and that most Christians today are living way out yonder on the fringe of the will of God. They're not really being directed by the will of God. They are not what we call in the will of God. They're way out there where God is directing them by his providence. And sometimes we call that the leading of God. Well, only indirectly. And this girl now that enters this contest is an illustration here of the permissive will of God. Now we are introduced to this man, Mordecai. And he belonged to the royal family of Israel. He belonged to the family of Saul, where also Kish was the father of Saul. And now this man belonged to that royal group, and one of the other evidences of it is verse 6, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives, who had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And that delegation, actually Nebuchadnezzar came three times against Jerusalem, and it was in these first two times that he came that he carried away the best of the people. That is, he carried away the princes and the leaders. Now, this man, Mordecai, belonged to that group. Apparently, as we shall see, he must have been a little boy at that time, but nevertheless, he belonged to that family, and he belonged to the family of Saul. Now, we are told here, he brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther. And Hadassah and Esther mean the same thing. Esther means star, by the way, and she certainly was a star, apparently a very beautiful woman. And we're told here that she was actually the stepdaughter of Mordecai. He brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took her for his own daughter. So he's raising this girl in his home, and she's a very beautiful girl. Now, he had a position here in the palace, by the way. We are told that the first thing about him, he was in Shushan the palace. And the question arises right here, the one question we'd like to ask him, what are you doing here in Shushan the palace? You ought to be back there in Jerusalem. God has given a decree for your folk to return, and that's where you should be. And here you are in a foreign country. Why don't you get back there? Well, he's out of the will of God, you see. And the name of God won't be mentioned in this book. He's not here at all, not in name. But you'll see that his fingerprints are here. And not only that, but someone has defined providence as it's the hand of God in the glove of circumstances. And believe me, his hand's moving in the glove of circumstances. And friend, that's true in your life, and it's true in my life also. Now, he was in the palace. He had some minor position there. And in this minor position, he was able, though, to see these different girls as they came from the different sections of the empire. And he always made note of that, and I think made a comparison. I think he said to himself many times, well, that girl is not near as beautiful as my stepdaughter Esther is. And so as we move down through this section here, why, he is very much concerned now about entering her in the contest. And when he saw that she would be a winner, or at least he thought she would, he didn't know that. We are told, so it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree were heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women. Now this man had charge of the contest, and these girls came, and Mordecai saw that each day, and he came to the conclusion that his stepdaughter Esther had a good chance. So he entered her in the contest, and I'm sure that she was for it. Now, let's be very candid. I must say that at this particular juncture, I do not have too much respect for this man, Mordecai. But I want to hasten and say this to you. I'm going to change my mind, and I'll eat my words, and I wish I hadn't said what I'm saying now. But I despise him for what he's doing now. To begin with, he's disobeying God. God had told his people not to intermarry. He's definitely breaking the Mosaic law when he entered this girl with the idea she'd become the queen of the king. And then the second thing, we'll discover that any girl that did not win had to enter the harem of the king. She became a concubine. We'll see that. Now, that's exposing this girl to an awful life, and he's willing to take that risk. And at this point, I do not have too much respect for Mordecai, but I want to say this now, lest you get a wrong impression. I'll change my mind. fact of the matter is, before we're through, I feel like throwing my hat in the air and cheering him, because I think he took a stand for God. And I think probably we're going to be able to see that next time. Now, let's move on down in this section here. It's getting interesting now, I hope, because Esther's being entered into the contest. She's turned over to the one in charge, Hegai. Now, verse 9, and the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness from him, and he speedily gave her her ointments for beautification. Women haven't changed either, and there was a great deal of makeup used. And I hope no one's going to take issue with me about the use of makeup and about whether she should enter this contest. Now, very candidly, I don't think she should have entered the contest. And we're going to find out she didn't need makeup. There are a great many extremists in this department today. A dear lady came to me when I was pastor in downtown Los Angeles, and I taught down there in the Institute. She came to me one day, and she thought that some of the girls there were using too much makeup. And she said that she didn't think a Christian ought to use makeup. And, of course, she put me out on a limb and says, what do you think? Well, I said, very candidly, let's go into who the woman is. I said, I know some women that makeup would improve them. And I think we all ought to do the best we can with what God's given to us. And I says that some women that don't use makeup look like witches to me. She took that personally. And I want to add this, she had reason to do that too. I felt like saying to her, a little makeup lady would improve you a great deal. Now, I hope you don't want to argue about that, because all of this is actually out of the will of God, but God is permitting this, and it's by his providence now that she has been accepted by this man in charge. I think when he looked at her, he liked her very much, and he said, boy, she looks like a winner. So he put her up front, and that was a step. You say, well, that's an accident. Oh, no, friend. God, by his providence, overrules down here in our lives. Now, there was given to her such things as belonged to her, and 7 maidens who were suitable to be given her out of the king's house. And he removed her and her maidens unto the best place of the house of the women. Now, that's by the providence of God. She's put up in number 1 slot. Now, verse 10, Esther had not revealed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not make it known. Now, suppose she'd made it known. Well, these people were well known in that area. They were people who, we'll find out later, the enemy said they got strange laws. And they worshiped the living and the true God. They did not worship idols. And that was known. And the minute that she'd reveal her nationality, she would reveal her religion. And these people are out of the will of God. And when you are, you don't boast of your testimony. When you're out of the will of God, you're not apt to be a testimony for the Lord. Remember old Jonah on board that ship running away from God? He hadn't told them he was a Hebrew. You know why? Because he'd given himself away, and he wasn't about to do that. And he's quite a talkative fellow himself, by the way. Now, Mordecai told her not to, to reveal who she was. Now, will you notice? And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now, I have been told that when you're in the will of God, that you can just sit back and rest, and that you can, you know, say, well, I'm in the Lord's will, and we'll let things just work out. Well, when you're not in the Lord's will, you're not going to be able to take that position. If you do, it'll sure be a false position. Mordecai knew that he was out of the will of God. And so what did he do? Sit down and wait for the decision? No. Every day he walked up and down in front of the palace wondering how this thing would come out, wondering whether if he hadn't made a terrible blunder and mistake in doing this. And he had already bitten his fingernails back to his elbows. He is absolutely frightened of the thing that he's done, and he's worried sick. He's not sleeping at night, that is for sure. That's the condition of Mordecai. And when you're out of the will of God, you're not apt to rest back on your laurels and say, everything will be all right, I'm the will of God. Now, I recognize some people deceive themselves on that. I remember a man that had cancer, and his wife rather rebuked me for not trusting the Lord. She said, we are resting in the Lord, and the Lord won't let him die, and all that type of thing. And that you're not trusting the Lord because you've been going to the doctors and you're resting on them. Well, the only difference is he's not alive today, and I still am. I believe that you can be in the Lord's will and go to the doctor, and I can assure you that's what I intend to do. And this idea of taking a false position and calling it faith, sometimes faith is not faith at all, it's foolishness. And God has never asked anyone to take a leap in the dark. Faith always rests upon facts. And here, this man's definitely out of the will of God. He hasn't anything to rest on at all. Now, will you notice verse 12? Now, when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after she had been 12 months according to the regulations for the women, for so were the days of their beautification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and with balms for the beautifying of the women. Now, I've always felt that beauty parlors are misnamed. I tell my wife, you go in there looking, I think, very good, and you come out looking like a peeled onion, or you look like the end of a mop that has been overused. I wouldn't want to call them beauty parlors. And I know that there are many men that spend a lot of time waiting for their wives. My wife can spend a long time in a beauty parlor, but my friend, here we have 6 months for one type of treatment, 6 months for another. That's 1 year in a beauty parlor. And I told my wife one day when I waited 40 minutes outside and I hadn't come until, well, the time she'd set, I still waited 40 minutes. And when she came out, I said, my, you must be Queen Esther to spend that much time in a beauty parlor. Well, this is quite a beauty treatment, friends, 1 year. Now will you notice, verse 13, then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, on the next day she returned unto the second house of the women. Now listen to this, to the custody of Sheashgaz, the king's chamberlain who kept the concubines. You see, if the girl didn't win the contest, she became a concubine. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she was called by name. You see what Mordecai had exposed Esther to? And apparently she was perfectly willing to do this. Now we're told in verse 15, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her to his daughter, was come to go into the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them who looked upon her. Now, it was decided that Esther did not need to have a year's beauty treatment. Hers was a natural beauty. And they said, my, that's like gilding a lily to send her to the beauty parlor. She's already beautiful and lovely. And everyone that saw her, they said, my, there's a winner. That's the girl that's going to win. She just stood out above everyone else, you see. And again, is the hand of God moving? Yes. And this is the will of God? No, sir. This is God moving by his providence. He's going to put her yonder on the throne next to the king, because if she's not there, their whole nation is going to be destroyed. Not only that, God will be violating his word. And you want to know something? God never violates his word. Now, the time has come for her to go in before the king. And what's the answer going to be? Well, not only is it time for her to go before the king, it's time for us to get off the air. And this is the place to stop, right where it's a cliffhanger. And I know all of you will probably not sleep tonight wondering how this thing's going to come out. So until next time, may the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, if you're one of those who, as Dr. McGee described, will lose sleep waiting to hear how the story works out, I suggest you go ahead and read Esther 2, verses 16 to chapter 3, verse 6, in preparation for our next study. Our reading schedule is available anytime at ttb.org, or you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and we'll send you one on a bookmark. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you back here to find out what happens next.
Jesus came in home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible Bus all around the world.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, greetings once again out there in Radio Land. This is your radio pastor, James E. Ross of New Life Assembly of God. And we are the church in the city with the city in his heart. We thank the Lord this very wonderful and glorious day to be able to come into your homes and speak a word of truth to all that have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say today. So we thank him, and I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there. Those that have tuned into this broadcast will be blessed. Eternal God, our Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray right now for those that have tuned into the broadcast that they will be blessed, receive your word, and give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, glory to God. We are on the word of God today concerning the healing. Healing. There may be folks out there in Radio Land that are suffering, perhaps are having challenges, should I say, concerning the different kinds of ailments and so forth. But I want to tell you today, you don't have to be sick anymore. Glory to God, because the word is clear. The word is all powerful, as what has been spoken in Hebrew 4 and verse 12, where the word of God says that is the word of God is quick and powerful. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Quick and powerful. It's alive and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What a mighty God we serve, and the power of his word, which he holds all things together with the power of his word. So we're going to look at the healing scriptures of the word of God today. And if you have the desire to get out of the condition that you're in and whatever problem you may be encountering, I want to tell you right now is the best time. Praise God.
Praise God.
Mr. Glory, right now is the best time.
Yes, it is.
Because the healing power of the word of God is awesome.
Amen.
Praise God. I would like for you to start out in Psalms 103. Praise God. And verse 1, 2, and 3. Praise the Lord.
Amen. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Hallelujah.
And all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Glory to God.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases.
Glory to God, who forgives all of thy iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. Praise God.
Amen.
He is the healer.
Yes, he is.
The word is powerful, and the word heals. And all we as children of God need to do is just receive the word. Praise God. Because the word is the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God tells us that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Well, I want to tell you, David is saying, well, soul, you're going to bless the Lord regardless of how it is. All that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Everything on the inside of me is going to bless the Lord, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases, and who crowned thee with tender mercies.
Yes.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, that's the God that we serve. So heal in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Praise
God. Receive your healing today. Glory to God. It's right there. It's been appropriated for you on Calvary's cross. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We can receive our healing. Praise the Lord. Whatever that's challenging us today, we can receive our healing. In Psalms 107, praise God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, the word of God tells us that he sent his word and healed them. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
See, God wants you to be well, to be healed, to be whole. He doesn't want you sick. God doesn't want you sick.
No.
The reason I know that is because God sent Jesus to take the sickness off of you, to bring forth deliverance in your life. And if God wanted you to be sick, he would not have sent Jesus to heal, to bring forth deliverance in the lives of God's people or anyone. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
I've heard people talk about, well, God put sickness on somebody so he can get their attention. That's nothing but heresy. That's not true. It's not the word of God. Because how would God put sickness on you and then send Jesus to take it off of you? That makes no kind of sense. That's why we have to abide in this word and believe what the word of God says. Praise God. That the healing power. Amen. Jesus came to heal.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
he came to save.
Yes.
He came to seek and save that which was lost. Glory to God. And all the glory belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise his wonderful name. So it says in Psalms 107 and verse 20, and I'm going to ask Minister Glory to read that again slowly, because I get excited when it comes to the word of God. And I start, glory to God, jumping around in here. Who knows what will happen? I might find myself on top of one of these computers in here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because the word of God is quick and powerful, and it's alive. Praise God.
He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? God heard their cry. He heard their cry. And he sent his word. Who is that word?
Jesus
is the word of God. He sent his word to heal them. That's the whole idea. That's why our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done on Calvary's cross. He brought forth the healing and deliverance to all of us that will believe and trust in him. I don't know. I tell you, every time I get behind this microphone, I get excited. Praise God. Talking about Jesus. Amen. Talking about Jesus. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. Praise God. He'll see you through. He'll bring deliverance in your life. So if you got any aches and pains today out there in Radio Land, which most of us we encounter from time to time, but it cannot get the victory. So what we do as a child of God, praise the Lord, rebuke the pain.
Yes.
Glory to God. Speak the word. Put the word on it. Glory to God. And walk in the deliverance. And this word has power, Mr. Lord.
Yes, it surely is.
Amen. It has power.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the only one that heals.
Yes.
No one else heals. Only God. And Jesus is God. So he heals. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about the verse of scripture came up in terms of Exodus 15 and verse 26. What is talking about? He said, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yes.
So if you know I am out there in Radio Land, embrace I am and thank him and say, Lord, I thank you. You are I am. Praise God. I am what you want me to be. Praise the Lord. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Now that's a strong statement there, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yes.
You want to read that in Exodus 15 and verse 26 there? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
It says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God.
Amen.
And will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Glory to God. He's the Lord that healeth thee. Now, there's been gross misconception of that verse of scripture where folks say, well, oh, like you see, it's right there. Say, he put the disease on you.
Mm-mm.
Well, let me tell you something here. A lot of people have read that and grossly misinterpret what the scripture is saying. God will allow. He's not putting no diseases on you. He will allow. Because if you don't diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right and pleasing in his sight, see, all these things will come on you. We must be obedient to what the word of God says. And so many folks are teaching all kinds of things here. And I'm not saying that I'm totally correct. And I want to stand firm that
on that because, listen, I could say something that's not totally true, but when I look at what the Word of God says and read the Word, then I'll depend on the teacher, who is the best teacher, who is the Holy Spirit, and He will give you the revelatory insight. He will give you the understanding of what the Word is saying, praise God, and that way we deal with it in context. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So we are talking about healing today, glory
praise
to God.
Praise God.
And we want to get as many verses of scriptures in today about healing as we can. Matter of fact, Minister Glory, in Isaiah, we want to read Isaiah 53 and verse 5, praise God. Another verse says,
but he was wounded for our transgressions.
Thank you, Jesus.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed.
Praise God. We are healed. We're not trying to be healed. We are healed. And what happens is that a lot of folks, they can't wrap their minds around what the prophet Isaiah is saying. Eagle-eyed prophet. Praise God. Isaiah is saying that there's one that's coming. Glory to God, that would be wounded for your transgression and bruised for your iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace will be upon him. And with his stripes,
yes,
we are healed. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Now, Isaiah is looking toward Calvary. Praise God. He has the revelation that there's one that's coming that's going to bear the iniquities and the sin and bring forth healing to the body, praise God. A lot of folks say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have to believe it. Just stay sick. That's all you have to do is just stay sick. Don't trust what the Word of God says. Just stay sick. But I will tell you, I believe what God's Word says.
Right.
And I'm going to hold on to the verses of Scriptures until my change come, praise God. Amen. I'm not going to let anybody deter or try and confuse me concerning what the Word of God says. And Mr. Glory, you know, Isaiah, as he was looking forward toward Calvary, praise God. Now there's a fulfillment of this.
That's right.
Praise God. You want to read that verse of Scripture?
In Matthew 8:17.
Amen. Praise God.
It says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
Praise God. So he didn't ask us for it. He took it. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful.
What a mighty God we serve. He didn't ask us for our iniquities. The Scripture says that He took our infirmity.
Yes.
And bared our sicknesses. And where did he do it? On the cross of Calvary. This is why we must stay focused, allowing the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us, allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to be the object of our faith. There are people today that they skirt the issue. They go all around talk. And I'm not here trying to lambast anyone. I just want to say, as what the Word of God says, and you know, and the Holy Ghost, you give me insight and say, well, listen, you preach the word and leave the consequences to God. Because he'll take care of everything. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And he will. He'll take care of everything. So what happened is that he took our infirmities and bared our sickness. Glory to God. Mr. Glory, here's another verse of Scripture here that's so powerful here that we want to embrace here. And that is in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Glory to God. How wonderful it is.
Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Well, I'm going to tell you today, if you were healed, then you are healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because it took place there on Calvary's cross. And the Word of God is telling us that his own self took our sins in his own body. He bared it on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. That's how we're to live, unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed.
Amen.
What Jesus suffered on Calvary's cross, we are healed. Praise God. We can't get any better than that. That's why our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe everything what the Word of God says.
Amen.
And many times, you know, we say and talk about and speak what the Word of God says, but we're looking at something from the outside. Well, see, the change come on the inside. Amen.
Amen.
The change comes on the inside of us. See, religion try to do the thing on the outside, but change the healing power of God starts from the inside, in the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody out there right now is being healed of high blood pressure.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Just believe what the word of God says there concerning your condition. Glory to God. I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to tell you. I'm saying what the word of God says, and you be healed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
And it must be done by faith.
Oh, amen.
By the faith that Jesus, what he has done for us. Believe what he has done for us. And that's all faith. That's all that faith is. Believing what he has done. He had done it on the cross of Calvary. It's finished. So just believe it.
In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. That's what you have to do. You have to believe it. By faith, you believe it. Embrace what the word of God says. And a lot of times, I don't want anybody to misquote what I'm saying here. I'm not telling you that they stop taking medicine and all this other, like a lot of people be talking, oh, well, don't take medicine no more. No. Don't. If you have a condition like that, the word says that you're healed, then you go to your doctor or whatever it is and let him make the determination. But by faith, we believe what the word of God says.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
So, whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe the report of the Lord.
So what happened is that Jesus, he took all of this and nailed it to his cross. And this is what we have to believe as a child of God. We have to believe that as a child of God. And the healing power belongs to us through what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done. Now, folks that are not saved, listen, repent. That's all you need to do is to repent. Tell the Lord that you are a sinner and that you want him to come into your life and change it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Then you can be part of the healing process. Listen, but God still loves you.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to make that understood there. God still loved you. I've known people that weren't saved, went into hospitals, and they came out. Then you had other folks that believed the Lord Jesus Christ, went in, and they didn't come out. So now, all that's in the hands of God. But
Amen.
I believe what
yes.
the word of God says.
Glory to God.
God, he is the one. He's all sovereign. Praise God. We can't tell him what he should or should not do. But we believe what his word says. There's no one there counseling God, telling him what he should or should not do. He does all things after the counsel of his own will. Praise God. And we believe what the word of God says.
Praise God.
I heard one minister say, well, if you're here and he heals you, that's fine. Well, if you go into eternity and be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, you still win. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You're still a winner. Glory to God. Now, let me tell you something here. There's another verse of scripture here. Apostle Paul was telling the church of Galatia there, praise God, in Galatians 3 and verse 13. Listen to what the word of God says. Minister Gloria, would you read that?
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. What is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Glory to God that hang on the tree. Jesus Christ hung there on that cross. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, we know in Deuteronomy 28 there, glory to God, when we look at the curse, the curses that went on. But I tell you, but Jesus redeemed us from the curse so that we could walk in the blessings. Praise God. Matter of fact, Minister Glory, read that Galatians 3 verse 13 and then go on down. It says there that he had redeemed us from the curse of the law because we want the blessings of Abraham to come on the Gentiles.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We all Gentiles.
Right.
Glory to God.
It's that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I want to tell you something else. Glory to God. Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 17. Listen to what the word of God says. Yeah, what did Jeremiah 17 say? He said that, Lord, heal me and I'll be healed.
Amen.
Praise God. Do you have that faith out there in Radio Land today to believe that the Lord, he heal you, you'll be healed. Praise God. Jeremiah 17, verse 14, I think that's somewhere around
yes.
in there.
It says, heal me, O Lord.
Yes.
And I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. for thou art my praise.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. What's happening out there in Radio Land today? I want to tell you that there's so much in the Word of God as we continue to just look upon this perfect law of liberty and just receive what God has done for us. Not trying to do it on our own, but to believe and receive. And Minister Glory, there's another verse of scripture here too. I tell you, in Mark 11 and verse 20, 24?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually 24, praise God. And the scripture tells us that what things soever we desire when we pray,
mm-hmm.
believe,
mm-hmm.
believe. That's what you have to do. Believe what the Word of God says. And it's to us all. To me behind this microphone, listen, I have to believe what the Word of God says. And I'm telling you, it's a struggle. Glory to God when you allow your flesh to try to say, well, I don't see anything now. No, no. The healing comes from the spirit into the soul, and the flesh is the last part, glory to God, to acknowledge that healing. And a lot of people don't realize it. That's why we look at our physical man and say, well, it ain't here yet. Mm-hmm. Well, it is.
Amen.
Jesus has done it already.
Amen.
Listen, the spirit, that's ready. God is spirit, and he's on the inside of you. So then now he's the one that's doing the healing. Then in the soul part, you start renewing your mind according to what God's word says. Yeah? Praise the Lord. And that old flesh have to come in line with what God's word says. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Oh, we serve a sweet Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I say we serve a sweet Jesus. And I tell you, most of us, we discount a lot of things. But I want to tell you, when you embrace the word of God and believe what God's word says, because spirit, soul, and body. Apostle Paul was talking about that in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. This is not a, that's not a healing verse of scripture, but I want to let everybody out there in radio land that's tuned in the broadcast to know that we are tripartite.
Mm-hmm.
We have we're spirit, soul, and body. Can you read that right quickly, Minister Glory, so I can conclude? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul,
yes,
and body,
yes,
be preserved blameless,
glory to God,
until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Praise God. Be found blameless.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Three parts of
your spirit,
that's right,
soul, and body.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the healing takes place in the spirit. Then manifests itself to the soul, which is your will, motion, your intellect, and your mind, where you renew your mind according to the word of God. And then the flesh of the physical man has no other alternative but to get right and come in line with what the word of God says.
Amen.
There's another verse of scripture, Minister Glory, we were talking about there. In Psalm 34, in verse 19,
mm-hmm.
was it many of the affliction?
Yes.
Praise God. The righteous go through a lot of things.
Yeah.
Praise God. But God brings forth the deliverance. Amen. You want to read Psalm 34, verse 19?
And 19, praise God. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all.
Isn't that something? God is the deliverer. Praise
yes,
the Lord.
Yes, thank God.
He delivers us out of them all.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one other verse of scripture that's more or less in a congregational setting there. But in James 5, we were talking about that, is there any sick among you,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. Let them call for the elders of the church.
Amen.
And let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And pray the prayer of faith.
Yes.
Because the prayer of faith will save the sick. Praise God. I wonder how many churches, you mm-hmm. know.
Yes.
They're praying the prayer of faith
mm.
in the congregation there. They're praying for folks that... And then again, you know, you have a lot of people there, even in our fellowship.
Yes.
They are dealing with certain things, and they won't come up for prayer. You can't force prayer on anyone.
No.
But the most important thing is that if they come up by faith,
yes,
they can receive the healing by faith. Isn't that,
praise
that
God.
Wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So is anyone, any among you sick?
Mm-hmm.
Call for the elders of the church.
Yes.
Praise God. He started out with that, but I want to tell you that it's a wonderful thing there. And one other thing I wanted to say here is that we don't want to close out this broadcast, because this is, I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows what you're going through. And what happened is that if you turn your heart toward the Lord Jesus Christ and have him as the object of your faith, glory to God, and you put your trust in him, because he's the one that has done it all.
Amen.
And it was all done at Calvary, the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, the scripture says that he himself bared our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. We are healed. Praise God. Mr. Glory, you want to close out the broadcast
right
here?
So remember, faith coming by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You've heard the word of God. You've heard about healing. And right now, healing is for you. Hallelujah. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
And I want everyone out there in Radio Land to keep in mind, I have not exhausted all scriptures concerning healing. So take heed to what was spoken of and receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank God for you all tuning into the broadcast. We're having a wonderful time just enjoying Jesus and what he said in his word. Well, God bless you all out there until the next broadcast. And keep in mind, you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. Just do what Jesus said. Have faith in God. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.